Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
Including Intuka, trying to smash it into one word.
And inform you in the afternoon.
Tuka puked on his pad.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on a Friday. Hi, Anthony.
Good, you?
Just peachy. You know what Friday means, right?
Yeah, agenda-free.
Thank you. Okay, hello. Agenda-free Friday brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges. They don't. PlanetFitness.com. I log in. I get on the phone screener. We release the hounds, and we go right to you as soon as they're all loaded up. But we start with opening takes here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. You want to go first, Anthony?
Sure. I'd be happy to go
Thank
first.
You.
I'll
like
start with
too.
The Red Sox because they got the what looks like on paper a good win last night. And when I say what looks like on paper,
thank
a good
God
win
we
last
have
night,
you to set the record straight.
So look, here's what I would tell you that they've played what 37 games now. I think it is. They're 26-11. The Yankees are 26-11. They played three games in Boston. The Red Sox won 2 out of 3. They played three games in New York. The Yankees won 2 out of 3. Even Steven, all across the board, right?
I'd say wrong. I'm going to guess you're going to go wrong. On
right?
That.
Even Steven, right?
Probably not.
Okay, so here's what I would tell you. As of right now, they're not good enough. They're not good enough. The Red Sox are not good enough to make what I would call a legitimate run at the World Series. They're not good enough. And I'm convinced after what we saw in New York the last three nights, if they keep that team the way it is, they will lose to the Yankees or the Astros, and maybe they get the fortune of not having to play both of them in the postseason, but whatever it is.
And you include last night.
Yeah.
You include the victory as part of your analysis.
Yes, I do, for this reason. They can't get through the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings in New York with what they got. They don't have enough. Now, I don't know if Tyler Thornburg is the answer or not. I don't know if there's a guy to acquire by trade out there or not. But what I do know with absolute certainty is that Joe Kelly, Carson Smith, and Matt Barnes are not good enough to get big outs in the final three innings at Yankee Stadium. I can guarantee you that. And in this series, those three guys, or let me just add it up really, the whole team, in the final three innings at Yankee Stadium, 11.57 ERA. 7 innings, 10 hits, 9 earned, and the number that should alarm you the most, 7 walks. 7 walks in 7 innings. These guys tighten up and they can't throw strikes. On the big stage, in the big moments at New York.
Last night was unbelievable.
So look, they pulled it out.
Oh, my God.
J.D. Martinez hits a Yankee Stadium home run, and good for him. You know, if they're going to use the ballpark to their advantage, why shouldn't you? So absolutely, good for him. I take nothing away from J.D. Martinez on that. He'd be a great player for them in Yankee Stadium. But that eighth inning was a freaking debacle. And just as it was the whole series in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, debacle. If they don't improve that bullpen, they're not good enough.
Okay, again, we have Release the Hounds at 617-779-0985. Load them up. That's Maz's opening take. Murray, what do you got?
Just real quick, I have a greater appreciation for Tuukka Rask after last night's Game 7 between
that was good too.
the eventual Stanley Cup champion Winnipeg Jets. I've felt really since the beginning of the playoffs they're going to just give them the cup now. They're going to win it. But they were in Game 7 against the Nashville Predators. Predators at home. And I have the greater appreciation for Rask because of the play of Pekka Rinne, the Nashville Predators goalie. I don't know how many people actually cared about this or watched this game, but let me just tell you, for the second consecutive year, Pekka Rinne proved himself to be one of the all-time great big-game losers. Losers. This team goes to the Stanley Cup Final last year against the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's the last sports bet that I made because I realized, I saw at one point, Pekka Rinne can't win in Pittsburgh. Never won in Pittsburgh. Couldn't do it. I bet on Game 6, won a couple of shekels. Everything worked out for the kid.
Did you bet last night?
I did not, because I didn't know he was... I hadn't been watching.
Because they were home.
I hadn't been watching, but he's been brutal at home. I didn't know how bad he had been at home. He was pulled in the first period by... So do yourself a favor if you didn't watch this. Two of the worst bunny goals, especially the first one, that you will ever see in your entire life.
Have you seen
life.
These, Mass?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it was
brutal.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
but
brutal.
Like, truly pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And at the end of the game, too, I like this because, again, I love the sports schadenfreude. I love the tears and all this kind of stuff. He wasn't even on the bench. He was in the tunnel. Like, he was so removed from it and so ashamed, and he should be because he is a loser. And I think you could make the case because that team is a wagon, especially this year, that he's cost them the Stanley Cup championship 2 years in a row in Nashville. Pekka Rinne, he's that bad. He's that big of a gag artist in big games. So I might not ever trust Tuukka Rask, but I have a better appreciation for him because he ain't like that. He ain't that big of a puddle.
And it's all he's going to win the Vezina this year. He's going to be, you know, he's a finalist.
It's like Casey in Toronto. Hey, congratulations, coach of the year. You're fired.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Those goals last night were staggering.
Yeah, how much time was it total before they pulled him?
It was in the first period.
Right. Yeah, I just tell me that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about the guy that Laviolette said, forget it, I'm getting him out of
there. Well, Laviolette is, you know, to his credit, he's quick with that trigger finger, and he'll call a timeout and yank a goal. You know, he did it to you. He's done it many, many times. But Laviolette, I think that was the third time he was pulled this series. I think they said, yeah. I think he's been pulled three times this series. This is the best goalie in the league. So it's all that big game stuff. Oh, it's fascinating.
Yeah, and stunning, too, because I thought, look, I think whoever was going to win that series ultimately wins the cup. So, you know, they have a great home ice advantage. That crowd is into it. They were devastated after that first goal because, you know, they know, even though it's the Southern Hockey Market, but, you know, that's a passionate fan base. They're there. They know. They watch this guy. You could feel their souls ripped out of them after that first goal.
Okay, so my opening take is more of a tease of what we'll be doing on as the course of the day goes on, and that is getting a reaction from across the country. Analysis of Celtics-Cavs. And I mentioned yesterday that I think that the Celts are completely underappreciated and disrespected, and the national media just doesn't get it, just doesn't get the Celtics. They don't. And, I'll just give you a quick example. Here's Chris Broussard. Let's start with Chris Broussard on ESPN, his prediction of this series.
Or Boston beat Cleveland.
I don't think they'll play them as tough as Indiana, but they'll play them tougher than Toronto. I think Philadelphia would have been a bigger threat. I would have picked Cleveland, but I would have given Philadelphia a chance mm-hmm. to beat them. I give Boston no chance. I think maybe they make it a six-game series.
Right.
You know, maybe Cleveland takes them out in five. But they just don't have the superstar power. That's just it. I do not see a team of good, really good players taking out LeBron James.
Okay, Chris Broussard, FS1 now. I mean, someone explain that logic to me. He would have given Philly a chance, but he gives the Celtics no chance. The Celtics just beat Philly in five games. It's like, I don't get how, I mean, I get how you could feel it previously. I sort of felt that way previously. But then when you watch it play out over the last, you watch what's going on the floor. How does that not shape your opinion a little bit? Or like nothing gets through? How about Skip Bayless? Is he also FS1? There's not a lot of hot take artists on FS1. I like this station. Go ahead.
I am saying five.
Five?
I'm saying five. Cavs in five, LeBron in five, because this is one team that will have no answer for LeBron James. He is the Beast of the East. He is playing at the highest offensive level of his career.
The Beast of the NBA.
Yeah, of the East. The East, not the NBA.
NBA.
We'll get to that later. I already told you what's going to happen. I actually pity LeBron because they're going to win this in five, and then they're going to go get gentlemen swept in five by the Warriors.
Don't feel sorry
for
LeBron.
It's just coming again. And it's like sad but true that it's like – the light at the end of the tunnel is the oncoming train for LeBron James.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
okay, gentlemen sweep, five games. It's like, was anyone just watching?
No, I'm telling you, it's because the Celtics break the mold in every area. They're all using.
I understand that, but then after you've watched the games, shouldn't something sort of dawn on you that the team's for real? No?
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah. And again, I mean, Broussard said six, right? Like, I like Cleveland in this series.
Yeah, but he said he gives Boston no chance. Do you give them no chance?
No. I give them some chance.
That he says that he would give a bigger chance to the Sixers makes absolutely no sense, which leads me to believe that these national guys really don't watch these games.
They don't get it.
They don't.
They're in love with the sexy names.
So listen, that's my take. We're going to do a lot of that as the course of the day goes on. I promise phones early and often. That's what we do on Agenda Free Friday. David Wellesley on David Price. Go ahead, David.
First, Michael, I'm extremely disappointed in your Brad Stevens position. That was like stabbing me in the heart. I'm very distraught over that. On Price, I have an issue with, obviously, he's an idiot and he's irresponsible. My bigger issue is, why do the Red Sox let him talk? I do not understand, because it just adds to it and it clearly affects him. And I know it's fodder for you guys, it's perfect, but who with the brain over there says, let's put him in front of a microphone and let him discuss this idiotic battle with allergies? It's insane.
You knew it was coming yesterday, too. I said, don't let him talk. He's going to be asked about the video game. He's going to get talking, and it was impossible that it was going to end well for him. And now we have all this new reams of sound about him being allergic to cats and grass and dogs and laundry, and it's like unbelievable. Like, don't let him talk.
I just wonder if they've reached the point where they say, you know what, let him go, let him go. Again, the whole thing with the carpal tunnel, they were willing to tell us that. They were willing to tell us that. So I look at that. I just think they've reached the point that we babied this guy enough. Let him make an ass out of himself, because it's the only way he's ever going to grow up. He's a 2-year-old. He's a child.
Agenda Free Friday. Chris in the car on Murray's opening take. Go ahead, Chris.
Hello. Am I talking about Tuukka Rask?
You are.
Okay. Tuukka Rask, I hope they get rid of him. He was, every time the puck is in the zone, he's on his knees. The puck goes right over his shoulder, and I find myself yelling at the screen, get off your knees.
He's certainly susceptible up high, no question. He commits to that butterfly earlier than most. But Murray, let me just kind of counter your opening take.
Please.
Just because someone else sucks doesn't mean your guy's any better. Like, you see what I'm saying?
I get that, and that's quite the vulgar way to look at it.
I mean, let's not validate Rask because there's someone who's a bigger puddle.
Who would you feel better with? I don't know. Like, looking at that game last night and Pekarinne over the last couple of years in the playoffs, again, I don't trust Rask, but I feel better about him. I appreciate him a little bit more. He was good in this last series. He was shaky in Toronto. I'll give you that. But this second series is not the reason that they lost.
He's not the reason they lost that last series, no. He could have lost in the first series. That, I think. I just don't think he's worth $7 million.
I'm with you on that.
Rene makes more, I think. I think the three highest paid goalies are Hank, Lundqvist, Pekarinne, and Tuukka.
Rask sometimes to me has like a focus issue, or maybe it's, but the inherent gutlessness that you see with Pekarinne, like, Rask doesn't have that. He ain't that bad.
No, this guy's, he's setting the standard. Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, I'm just looking up his goals against. It's not as bad as I thought. It's 307.
That's wretched.
But it is bad. It's wretched. I thought it was going to be like 4.
Was that this year or his career
postseason? This year. This year.
Still horrible.
But the discrepancy between the games is impossible to ignore. It is. Because last year it was the opposite, Murray. He was brutal on the road.
No, he's literally never won in Pittsburgh. That's when I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm making this bet. Like, there's a problem there with that guy.
That guy's the David Price of hockey.
We're off and running on Agenda Free Friday. Back to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
One strike pitch. Little number. Charging on it. Kimbrel throws. Scooped up at first base, and the ball game is over. Terrific play by Kimbrel and Moreland to end it. And the Red Sox are back in the win column 5-4 tonight. And they're back in first place. And they have ended the Yankees' 8-game winning streak. 5-4, the final, and is on to Toronto for the Red Sox.
All right, the Red Sox won, but that game last night was unbelievable.
Yes.
On a lot of fronts. Frank in New Hampshire, what was your thought?
Well, I just, looking at the bullpen, it's kind of like, I want to get you guys' opinion. Okay, you had two outings where the bullpen wasn't great in the seventh and eighth inning. Do you make a change now or do you wait? And my second point, and I'll get your opinion on that as well, is how do you get Mitch Moreland in the game more and solve the Jackie Bradley issue? And are those two issues, can you put them together and solve both?
Yes. Sit Jackie Bradley and play Moreland at first and DH Hanley and put JD Martinez in left field.
I mean, I think basically they settled on that the last two games. You know, I'm eager to see whether it was a New York thing or whether they're just doing it. They're going to do it more. Bradley needs to sit. Okay, and the thing with the bullpen is like musical chairs, right? Barnes pitched later in the game the other night. Last night, Barnes went in early. Hembree went in late. So, like, but the bottom line is, this is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
They are such gaggers.
So I would wait if I were them. I wouldn't do anything now. When I say do anything, trade. Wait. Because it's too early, and who knows who's going to be available in 2 months. So wait it out. See what the best options are when you get to on or around July 1st. And you know, and see also what Thornburg does. But let's say Thornburg comes back and pitches well. I don't think he's enough. I think you need two. I don't think you need one. I think you need two. Because the rest of those guys might as well wear diapers to the mound at Yankee Stadium. Really. All of them. bouncing balls in the dirt. You can't reach the plate to score the tie and run.
Mass, again, the seventh inning, in case you missed it last night, after the rain delay, if you sat through the rain delay and came back to it, as I did, you're up 4-0 in the seventh, cruising. Embry's in, he gets the first out. So, one out, base is empty, seventh inning, 4-run lead. Okay, he gives up back-to-back singles to Andujar and Torres. Okay, so, now you're first and third, but again, the tying run isn't even at, you know, it's still on the on deck circle. There's still one out, you're okay. Here comes Walker, and he walks him on four straight pitches.
Right, so that's the second time in the series, too, that Aaron Boone identified left-on-right matchup that was a good one for him. Walker doubled off of Hembree in the first game, put him in last night, and Hembree couldn't throw a strike.
And but what I love is, I love that 3-0 walk, where you're trying to throw a strike. You're not pitching around Walker. And they were all fastballs. He's not trying to dip in an off-speed pitch or curve, you know. Those are all four-seam fastballs, according to the game chart. So he walks Walker on four straight, which again, you can't hit the plate on 3-0 when you know the guy's got the take sign. So here comes Machine Gun Kelly. Walks Gardner on four pitches.
Correct.
Same thing. All fastballs. Can't find the plate on 3-0. It's just comical. Okay, so then he sort of works his way around the inning. Judge singles in a run. Gregorius grounds into a double play. Now you're at 4-3. You've still got a one-run lead. And here's Giancarlo Stanton, who is willing to swing at pitches headed for the upper deck. This guy's plate discipline sucks.
Yeah.
He's tough to watch, frankly, him lay off pitches. And he uncorks a wild pitch to this guy, tying run score. It was freaking comical in the seventh inning last night.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned the four-pitch walk by Hembree, right? Kelly comes in, same thing. And then ball one to Judge, ball one to Stanton. Again, they can't even get in front, Mike. They can't throw one strike at the beginning of the at-bat. Behind every at-bat to the best offensive team maybe in baseball this year. It's suicide.
Oh, my God.
It's suicide. And this is what I've been trying to tell people this.
And then, but Stanton swings 1-0 and grounds out like, you idiot. The guy can't find the plate. He's just hit the moose with his last pitch to tie the game. Well, why don't you take a strike? Why don't you take a pitch? You big idiot.
I mean, so I just think this is who they are. They can't throw strikes in a big spot. Whether it's Kelly, Hembree, Barnes, it doesn't matter. They can't succeed there. They got to fix that bullpen because right now they're not good enough.
And it is. It's, you know, back to Pecorine. It's a choking thing because I think Embry has decent stuff. I think Barnes has good stuff. Like Kelly has good stuff. It's like as soon as it's a leverage situation, it's like, oh, my God. Oh, and last night was comical. Last night was comical. Here's a couple thoughts on the Winnipeg Jets from Jake in California. Go, Jake.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. I remember back in December when the Bruins first played the Jets and won, thinking, this Jets team is the best team we've played. They're huge. They're fast. And then when Bergeron came back his second game up in Winnipeg and we lost, I was thinking to myself the whole game, gosh, I hope we don't get hurt by these guys. They are so far and away, in my mind, the best team in the league. And I also think it's hilarious that the Bruins got fleeced in the Rick Nash trade and they got Stastny. And the Blues are paying half of Stastny's salary right now.
How about Joe and Peabody? You got a thought, Joe?
Hey, you got me?
Yes, I do.
All right, I just want to do a favor. So, everybody, this is how you can talk into your phone. You can hear me, Mike?
Yes, it's perfect.
So, you're watching, obviously, hockey still, Mike.
Yes,
same
a little
thing.
Bit.
The Jets, I had them pegged the whole year. They're just bullies. They really are. The stadium is ridiculous. As much as it hurt to see me, the Bruins, I mean, that injury list was bad. Price, Murray said it. It's embarrassing what this guy's doing to the city. And I like you guys talk.
Okay, so David Price, but just on the when you saw them, when the Bruins went there, I can't remember when their last game was, but you sort of looked at that Jets team and went, holy crap.
Well, the first caller nailed it. They're big, they're fast, they're deep, they're resilient. Marc-Andre Fleury might be the best goalie in the playoffs so far, but Hellebuck's right behind him. And he's right about the home ice advantage, too. And now they regained it with this win over Nashville. Like, it's kind of awesome to watch their home games.
Oh, that place is awesome. It is watching. From the regular season game, I went, oh, my God, I don't remember it being like that. And I clicked over for a little while to watch some of that game last night. To me, the big goal was that third one.
Home. Of course, yes, absolutely.
Oh, God, that was huge.
After
you know,
they made the goalie change, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
They made it 2-1, and then all of a sudden, it was Wheeler made that pass, right? Because I was kind of bouncing back and forth a little. That goal was huge, huge.
But again, I think, I mean, it's their size. They got that size-speed combo, which is just, but I think it again starts with them on D. Trouba, Myers, Bufflin. Those are the right side D. Like, that's really good. That's really good. You're playing Bufflin or Myers on your second or third pair. Like, that's where I think it starts in today's NHL. And that's for the Bruins, that's where they need that's where they need it. 617-779-0985. Sam in Fall River has a basketball thought. Hi, Sam.
Hey, what's going on? Murray.
Yes.
How much longer do I need to watch that professional bricklayer, Marcus Morris, put his head down and barrel into a guy in the paint? And it's just a toss-up whether he's getting two free throws or an offensive foul.
Look, offensively, he's infuriating, especially in that last game. He when he has the ball, it's his ball, and that
it's
offense
over.
Dries up like that.
The only chance they have of him not shooting is Stevens calling a timeout in the middle of the shot clock.
But I think the caller might be asking the wrong Jimmy, because the guy that really wants to defend Marcus Morris is behind me.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Do it again.
Marcus Morris is the best LeBron defender per 100 possessions in the NBA the last 2 years.
Marcus Morris ain't going anywhere. The Celtics' length and the number of guys that they can throw at LeBron and the number of guys that can't be picked on defensively is the strength of the team, and Morris fits right into that.
Oh, sure.
And Brad Stevens, as in Marcus Smart, can handle a bad shooter who just keeps chucking. He can handle that. He's all right with that. If you suck defensively, I think you're in trouble, but if you suck offensively and keep shooting, oddly enough, it seems to be okay with it.
Right. You see, if you suck defensively, you're in trouble unless you can get 50. Because then Kyrie and Isaiah and those guys are all right. But look, the Marcus Morris thing I told you, it's starting to drive me bananas. Okay, Marcus Morris and LeBron, one-on-one. Who are you picking?
Well, LeBron.
Okay, so let's stop with the Marcus Morris defense.
Jimmy?
But the advanced metrics will tell you that he's the best in the NBA the last two seasons.
Kay. They do have, Mass. Between him, Brown, and people throw Marcus Smart on there. I think he's giving away too much size, and Tatum is too young. But between Marcus Morris and Jaylen Brown, you can throw a couple guys at him.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that it doesn't matter. With that guy, it doesn't matter. That's all. Now, you talking double teams, or you mean rotation?
Just the whole thing. They've got a lot of good defenders and play good team defense, and their coach has a clue. And they're going to get to LeBron a couple of these games. You watch.
Okay, so look, he'll probably get a little frustrated somewhere in there. I'm telling you, though, it's not going to matter on LeBron. Okay, LeBron's going to get his. The bigger key is how they defend the other guys. Let LeBron get 50. I don't care. If LeBron gets 50 and the others don't score, the Cavs will lose them.
Okay, I give you a Bruins Minute coming up next on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by Planet Fitness. Everyone's talking about Brad Marchand after this week, his comments this week. But on the list of issues on the team, where does that reside? We'll give you that right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah, after having a couple days, kind of looking back on the year and seeing what's happened, you know, the last few days, I guess, with all the media and everything. I think the biggest thing for me now is to really take a pretty hard look in the mirror and, you know, realize the actions, some of the things that I'm doing have much bigger consequences than I may ever think or really believe will come out of it. I've always been a pretty easygoing guy, and there's not a whole lot that phases me at all. So, you know, I think it's kind of gotten to the point where, you know, especially when the last thing I ever want to do is kind of bring the embarrassment and, you know, all my teammates and the organization that I did. I have to be a lot better. And I know I've said that in the past, but I think that's got to be the thing that I really work on the most. I think I've kind of gotten my game into a pretty decent spot, but I got some character things and things that I've done that clearly need some fixing. So, you know, I think that's going to be the biggest thing that I take away from what's happened this last few days, to actually, you know, take a look and really understand that, you know, these things have much bigger consequences, clearly, like the situation that, you know, at the time I didn't think that there was a big deal at all. I couldn't believe where it was going, that it was even people were talking about it. But again, that's just a situation where you could actually really look at it and be better. And so that's the biggest thing that, yeah, I'm going to take away is, you know, it's time to kind of take a good hard look in the mirror here and fix some issues.
Pretty serious comments by Brad Marchand this week, I thought.
different in nature, in tone anyway, from things he said in the past. Character things I have to fix. You know, like that's a pretty serious admission. And I'd say good for him. Like, the licking stuff is just like, no, not good. Not what you're looking for. I mean, I'm not telling you to throw the guy in jail or anything, or like they should trade him, but that's embarrassing. Embarrassing to him, embarrassing to the team. It's just embarrassing. You're okay with your guy going around spitting in people's faces? And that's basically what he's doing. I mean, like, who'd be okay with that? I don't get anyone who's okay with that. Like, I just don't get it. The guy's going around basically spitting in people's faces. And you're okay with it? Like, who would be okay with that? So, clean it up. Like, good. And Sweeney had some follow-up comments as well. So let's play those.
Brad Marchand spoke yesterday. He was obviously very contrite about what happened during the playoffs. So my question for both of you is, how much communication have you had with him since then? What are your expectations for next season?
Well, maybe this will indict me, but I've certainly spent a long time with Brad. I've been part of this organization for a long time, and numerous conversations about him individually as a player, on and off the ice. Yesterday was eye-opening for me. I think this one's hit a lot harder than some of the other things that have come his way. I think he realizes the impact. You know, we spoke a little bit about his family and how it reflects really on him as a person, more so than him as a player. I think he has gained a tremendous amount of respect around the National Hockey League, worldwide, as a matter of fact, for him as a player. And I think that that's where the attention needs to be 100% focused on, his impact as a hockey player. People have spent time around him as a leader of our hockey club, and the things that he does to take away from that, you know, really don't need to exist anymore. And it'll be up to him. The proof will be in whether or not he can, you know, find that line and never really cross it anymore, because he doesn't need to. He's accomplished the things as a hockey player, and now hopefully he wants to accomplish the things as a leader and a quality person, and he was honest about it.
So that comment stood out to you, Miss?
Well, it did. The whole, and there's a succession of answers that that Sweeney gave. But we talked the other day. Someone said something to him, right? That's what we were talking.
Obviously.
It sounds like it was Sweeney. So I just think that is, he's not the first guy I would have picked. That's all. I would have guessed maybe Cassidy, maybe one of his teammates. You said Neely. Sweeney's not the guy I would have picked. I'm happy to hear that it was Sweeney. Like, that he sat him down, and there's another comment. I don't know if Jimmy pulled this one or not, but
hey, go ahead, play.
All right, go.
Whatever reputation that you speak of, wouldn't you say that he's damaged that significantly over the last couple of weeks?
As a hockey player?
Yes.
No. As a hockey player, I think that anybody in the league, and anybody that spent time around the league, would probably understand that. Anybody would acknowledge that Brad is a really good hockey player, and you would want him on your team. You also want him to lose the stuff that takes away from him being a good hockey player. And that's the specific thing that I referenced in terms of Brad. And I hope that he can do that. We're going to help him. We've put people around him, hopefully, that can continue to help him. His teammates are willing to help him. But it really falls on the person himself to hopefully, you know, continue to effectuate the change that we all hope that he can do.
I just the Bruins are clearly taking this seriously. You know, we've put people around him. So is he talking to sports psychologists?
Yeah,
like all of that stuff?
Absolutely.
Like, to me, this is, and again, I'm happy to hear it. Sweeney at one point said to him, look, the three most important things I told him are, you know, his integrity, the family, and not necessarily in that order. And I think Sweeney sat him down and said, you're embarrassing your family name. Forget about the Bruins organization, which you're embarrassing us too, by the way. You're embarrassing your father. Like, how do you feel about that? And now whether Marchand changes, who the hell knows? Like, who knows? But I give Sweeney credit for saying it and then openly acknowledging that, yeah, you know, we said something to him and hopefully he got through. It didn't feel to me like they glossed it over at all.
No. And it's an interesting story, but on the list of issues on the Bruins, it's really way, 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 way down the list. I mean, really, is. I mean, Brad Marchand's the least of your problems. I mean, that stuff was embarrassing to him and the team, but that's really all that is. In terms of getting to the next level and getting to where some of these teams are right now, Marchand ain't the issue.
Separate issue.
I mean, I could use a little more composure and consistency in the postseason from him, but for the most part, he's a strength, not a weakness, you know. So to me, the big thing this year, and I just ties into what we were saying with Winnipeg, is getting a top four D. You need another D-man. You have too many third-pairing guys on this team who played well enough to parade as second-pairing guys, but they're just not. Kevin Miller is not, and Adam McQuaid is not, and I'm sorry, Torrey Krug shouldn't be, and Greslick probably isn't, and Carlo might be, but he had a bad year before he got hurt again, and so, you know, what are you left with?
Chara and McAvoy, and Chara is borderline on those minutes anyway. So I say it again, they need to swing a to me, how they manage their roster and how they get that fill that need on D to me is going to be their number one issue in the offseason. I don't want to go spend huge money in free agency like John Carlson, who's on Washington, tremendous player, unrestricted free agent. He's going to be a top of the market, first guy off the board kind of guy. You want the Bruins in on a player like that? If they're going to sign someone to a contract like that, I'd rather them give it to McAvoy. So I don't feel like that's – I don't. But who knows? They need something there. And ideally, again, what I'm doing is finding someone to play with McAvoy and putting Chara with Carlo so it's a pure shutdown defensive pair. And if Chara's on your second pairing, then you probably have a pretty good decor. You know what I'm saying? Like if Tyler Myers is your second or third D pair, or Bufflin's on your second or third pair, you're doing something. Or in Tampa, if McDonough is your second pairing D, you've got a good decor. So if Chara's on my second pair, I feel better about it. So someone for McAvoy. And then I think number two on my list, and this isn't necessarily this season, but it is an organizational issue, and that is some money that's coming up, that if they want to sign their young players, how are you going to do it with Krejci making 7.2 and Rask making 7 and David Backes making 6, all for the next 3 years, and none of them are worth it? None of them are worth it. I'm sorry, Rask is not worth that money. And Krejci sure as hell ain't worth his money anymore. And Backes never was and won't be. So you got three guys there, $20 million against your cap, all signed for the next 3 years. And if you want to sign, and all these young players are as good as you think, between McAvoy and DeBrusk and Danan, just go down the list. If they're as good as you think, you got to pay them in the next couple of years. So what do you do there? So they got to start addressing that.
I don't want them to go free agency. They get too much money tied up already and bad money tied up. Like that'd be the wrong way to go. And
exactly.
The other thing is they have, you know, some depth at young forward, right? Particularly on the left side. Again, identify the ones that are the best and identify them properly. Make a trade. That's the way to do it.
And the guy I want is Noah Hanifin in Carolina, restricted free agent. Don't know if they want to pay him because, again, you got to pay these guys a lot. The Bruins will have the same sort of issue, but the kid can flat out play. He's the one that you wanted to trade up for with those three first rounders 3 years ago and were rebuffed. So can you put that deal back together somehow? And can you get Carolina to bite on three or four of your young forwards? And boom, there you go. You know, something like that. But that to me is, that's got to be number one on their list. So there's your Bruins Minute. Back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He has a mild case of carpal tunnel syndrome. For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. It seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing.
I like to play Fortnite forever, then blame my numb hand on the cold weather. Let's play Fortnite forever now. I wanna play Fortnite forever, until my hands go numb and I miss my next start. I wanna play Fortnite forever. As soon as we're off the plane, I fire up the Xbox. I wanna play Fortnite forever.
Yeah, so that happened this week, too. Got anything else, Murray?
No, I think the better clip, as much as it's embarrassing to hear him talk about video games, and, you know, this is definitely part of the cause. I don't care what anyone writes about this. I know Alex Spear of the Boston Globe said, you know, he's talked to doctors, and there's an article saying, no, didn't have to do with the other. I'm sorry. You play that many, you know, you play video games for that many hours a day. And again, referencing the Athletic story by Jen McCaffrey, saying they get off the plane, plays for a few hours, but that's, we really want to get some real time in. I hear that, and I'm sorry, you're telling me you play this thing up to 7, 8 hours a day when you're not actually doing your job.
Of course it's part of it.
Of course that's part of it.
Of course it is.
So as embarrassing as that is, I'm sorry, the stuff with the allergies is way worse. That clip yesterday, you're right, like he shouldn't have talked, saying the grass.
Well, let's hear it.
The weather.
This is a great one.
Let's relive it, shall we?
I mean, I couldn't see.
Sorry, hold on. So this is, he's asked why he didn't throw a side session in Texas the other day. This is why.
It was dark.
I couldn't see.
It was blinded.
They turned the lights on.
Go ahead.
I couldn't see. My allergies that's something I've always had to battle with as well. I mean, I don't need to be in a bubble or anything like that. You know, I've had one surgery in my life, and that was LASIK. So I've been, you know, really relatively injury-free, you know, my entire life. And allergies is something I've always had to battle, you know, whether it's fresh-cut grass or cats, or I found I'm allergic to dogs. So that's just probably the weather was a part of it as well. You know, it was cool, you know, the day before, and then that last day was warm. So it's just, that's part of it. I'll be ready to go on Saturday.
Murray?
And again, I'll be ready to go on Saturday. Oh, the burden you have to bear. What a cross you have to bear, David Price.
I'll be ready to go on Saturday.
You know, Toronto, they don't use real grass, thank God. I don't have to deal with the clippings that might blind me. He's a hypochondriac. There's a legitimate problem. There is a legitimate mental issue with this player.
I agree. I think he's nuts. He needs a therapist. Seriously, he's a whack job, man. He's a complete nut. He's constantly wanting this, like, you know, feel bad for me. That's what it is. He wants the pity. I'm battling the allergies. I'm grinding my life and so hard.
Battling allergies. Dude, go get Nasonex.
Oh, man, I couldn't see. My allergies.
Go to your local Walgreens. There's all kinds of over-the-counter stuff you can buy.
I'm sorry. The one that sticks out to me is just a video game thing. Jimmy, do you have the Q&A with the nerd reporter and Alex Cora? Like, I can't believe this actually happened this week in a major league clubhouse. Go ahead.
Carpal tunnel is not an uncommon injury for esports athletes, people playing video games.
Esports athletes. Again, that one, I can't. I have a hard time moving past that particular line. But go ahead.
Carpal tunnel is not an uncommon injury for esports athletes, people playing video games. We did a story talking to David Price. He says he is playing Fortnite more this season. Is that at all a concern, and would you consider asking him to ease up on the playing of video games following this diagnosis?
Well, he comes here tomorrow. We'll talk about it. We'll talk with Brad and see where we at. For what I know, David has played video games his whole life. You know, it seems like Fortnite now is the one everybody's playing, but last year I saw a lot of guys playing FIFA, you know, and that's a lot of, you know, a lot of playing too. So there's a lot of teens playing Fortnite too. I don't know. Nick. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
I mean, can you believe this is being discussed in the Major League Clubhouse?
It's incredible. And credit to Alex Cora, too, because I have to assume, right, this is an esports reporter?
I don't know.
I mean, the real answer...
I think it was Chad Jennings of The Athletic, and that's why he said we wrote a story referring to him and Jen McCaffrey.
Gotcha.
Okay.
He deserves to be taken out back and beaten because it was an esport athlete.
If it was an esports reporter, like, what Alex Cora should have said is, how'd you get in here?
So, David Price has said that he'll cut back on the playing of Fortnite in the clubhouse because of the way it looks. Okay, so which says nothing about him on his free time or at home or in
the hotel
or whatever the case may be. He said he won't do it in the clubhouse because of the way it looks.
Can't stop me.
Okay, so he's still going to play. He's still playing. Credit to Mike Silverman, who wrote in the Boston Herald. He said it. I basically said the same thing yesterday, but I couldn't have put it better. He says, at the risk of sounding like a helicopter parent, a scold, or worse, a get-off-my-lawn grump, I've got this truly radical, off-the-wall suggestion for David Price. Yep, I'll play the adult in the room, writes Mike Silverman, and I'll ask Price to give the video games a rest. Not a rest from Fortnite, like Price said he would do when the media was in the clubhouse, but like all the time. Put down the controllers. He wrote that with periods in between each, just like you would talk to your kid. Put down the video game. Hand me the iPad. Hand me the iPad. Okay, now we don't have an iPad. Now go to bed. This is your dealing with your children. Like, Tessa, I did it. Give it to me. No. Give it to me. Okay, now I got it. Now there's no iPad. Okay, there we go. Boom. Good night. Like, this is what we're now doing with David Price. David, put down the controllers.
You can even hear Cora at the end of that comment saying, like, you know, last year it was FIFA, and then he, like, chuckles, like...
You gotta be kidding me,
right? Right, like, you know... I can't
believe I'm entertaining this.
Exactly!
Yeah. I mean...
It's asinine!
He's a grown-ass man, 33 years old, 30... However old he is with a kid himself... And you're literally like, David, give me that! Okay, you're done! That's it! But give me that! David, put it down.
This guy got to 14 years old and stopped. That's what happened.
Holy moly.
He got to 14 years old and he stopped. So again, because all of it is consistent. The talking about the allergies, the video game control. He's a child. He's a 13, 14 year old. Like, you look at him and say, just stop. You're 33. You're being paid $31 million a year. $217 million. Can you please just take the ball and rehab on the other 4 days? What is so hard about that?
He goes tomorrow in Toronto, correct?
That is correct.
That'll be good. All right.
So. If I'm being honest, I want to see him get his face ripped off. I want him to go like two innings and have the Toronto Blue Jays put up like six runs on him, just like that.
I mean, this guy's talent is a burden to him. It really, it is. It's like, oh my gosh, I have to go out and pitch.
It's an albatross.
Oh my god, he really is. He's unbelievable. He's a pain in the ass. And it feels to me, and I'm going purely by gut on this. Okay, it feels to me like on the inside they are sick of him. Because nobody's told me that. But I believe that they are going, enough already, please, enough.
I promise, write to your phones after Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.